The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have a great show for you today. I'm really excited about it because this is an area that's very close to home for me, in that those of you that have listened to the show for any amount of time know that I'm very interested in senior living and assisted living. And I think it's also a great area for investors to get involved too. So our guest here today is Chuck Bongiovanni, and he is a certified franchise executive and the founder of Care Patrol Franchise Systems, the largest franchised senior placement company in the nation with over 150 offices. He is currently CEO and co-founder of Majestic Residences Franchise System, a senior residential care home franchise. Well, Chuck, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Well, it's great to be here, Bill.
I always like to have another Italian, you know, guest. It's, I think we really are just, kind of kept out of a lot of places. So it's, good when we get together and,
there's three Italians that live in Arizona and they keep us on 8-hour shifts.
I love it. Well, this is a very intriguing for me. I've talked to people that have, Gene Guarino, our dear friend who passed away recently, and he was one that kind of introduced me to the residential. Now, both of my folks, as I mentioned off the air, were in residential facilities and in a house, in a neighborhood type thing. And really, it was wonderful for them. And later on, I got involved with Ground Up Senior Facilities. And but I hadn't seen a franchise of this, which seems absolutely amazing. So I want to hear about it. But first, just give us a little bit more about yourself and, where you're from and how you even got into this area.
Sure. I was born and raised in Rochester, New York, where 98% of the population is Italian.
Exactly.
I went to college in Colorado State University, and then I transferred to Arizona State University via a map, a six pack of beer and a dart, if you know what I'm saying. I got a BA in psychology there and two master's degrees. One's in social work and one an MBA in marketing. And, you know, I got into this industry during college, actually. I was a certified nurse's assistant in a nursing home. And many, many years ago, back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, anyone could go into a nursing home. And the nursing home was actually the assisted living back in the day. And so we had a lot of seniors that were very capable of doing things themselves. And so after graduating from college, I started Care Patrol, which is, again, a company that helps families find these places, kind of like a real estate agent in many ways. Stayed on with them. We were purchased by private equity, and I stayed on for a couple of years, and then I started Majestic Residences, which is, like you said, a residential care franchise.
Well, fascinating. Why don't you explain exactly what that is and what it entails?
Sure. So, you know, we've all driven past the large assisted living places, Brookdale, Sunrise, Atria, is the name of a few of them. And so we've all driven by the real big ones. There are many, many, many more, about 30,000 across the nation of smaller residential care homes, which are actually, the best way to describe it is assisted living, but in a small home. So these are located, again, throughout the nation in actual residential neighborhoods. So you could probably have one next door to you and you wouldn't know it. Matter of fact, years ago, I placed someone into a home that was literally next door to the kids' house, kids' home. It was pretty strange. But these are 6 to 16 residents per home. We don't have to worry about HOAs because of a little law, the Federal Fair Housing Act. And so someone would take a residential home, and we would help them get licensed through their state for either 6 residents or, again, up to 16, depending on your state. So we help them get licensed, teach them the operations, marketing, branding, and all those kinds of things all wrapped into one.
Got it. So now for a person that's an investor, how does that work on the franchise as well? You're trying to find, an actual house that could be converted in, and that's part of your process. And how involved is the investor on that side?
Right, kind of like in some ways the McDonald's and how they got pretty famous, and how everyone in the investors and them got pretty rich. We are looking for people that would buy the residential home that would make a good residential care home, and then lease it to our franchisees. And this could be done anywhere in the nation. We're looking for usually, ranch style homes, one level home. And you'll be surprised if it's a 4-bedroom or 5-bedroom home. We can usually convert the garage into 2, sometimes 3 more bedrooms. And so there's ways of getting 8, 10 residents into a home without it feeling cramped at all.
Wow, that's great. Now, aren't there various states have limits on the number of actual rooms that you can or residents you can have in one of those facilities?
Correct. Unless it's commercial property. In the residential side, some states like California limit to 6. Other states like Texas is 16. Arizona here is 10 beds. So each state is different, allowing the number of residences that could be in a residential assisted living home.
So the investor purchases the property. I mean, that's their sort of main role, right?
Correct. Right.
And then you have an operator, or I don't know what you call them, the person that actually is going to run the business to actually find residents, maintain it, oversee staff, all of those types of things, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing. So the great thing about it is our franchisees or operators want to make sure that the home is always in quality form. So the landlord doesn't have to worry about things being broken in the home or landscaping, you know, having a problem with that, because they want to make sure that every family who tours the home chooses them. So they want to make sure it's well kept and it maintains a really high quality. So, you know, a lot of times investors will buy a home and they'll lease it out to a family, and who knows what happens. They leave in the middle of the night, they take the refrigerator, they put holes in the walls. That won't happen with our franchisees, because they need to maintain that top appearance.
Got it. Now, the franchisee, you say they lease the facility. What does that entail?
Yeah, usually, of course, everything's negotiable, but usually it's a triple net lease, mm-hmm. 5 years, because our franchise agreement is 5 years, which is renewable. And we're seeing leases right now at about 1%. So if you purchase the home for $600,000, they're paying rent or leasing it for $6,000 per month. Again, it's all negotiable. You know, usually what we ask is that the investor has a set price lease in the very beginning until the home gets licensed, and then raise it a little bit for the next 3 months after they're licensed so they can wrap up and start receiving residents. And then on month four, get up to the point to maybe that 1% or so.
Got it. So the person that's buying the home, are you referring to as the landlord? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, that's terminology.
Yeah, sure. No, I just wanted to get a kind of handle on that. So the landlord, for example, they buy this facility. Do they have any say who the franchisee will be? Or is that what your company does? They kind of screen and find those franchisees?
Yeah, we vet them very, very well, because, you know, we want to make sure that anyone that we award a franchise to, and I notice I said the word award, not someone who purchases a franchise.
Right.
You can't really purchase a franchise to us. You have to be awarded it. So we have a long vetting system to make sure that the person that we award a franchise to will be successful. And of course, we're going to make introductions. And if the landlord or the investor doesn't feel comfortable, that's fine too. We want to make sure that everyone is comfortable with each other, and it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, I would think that the landlord, looking from, you know, as a landlord and having rented out properties and so forth, you know, would really want to feel comfortable with that person. Probably would want somebody with some experience, having done it before. Maybe they have other facilities in addition to the one, you know, the one that I may be selling.
Well, it could be, or you know, a lot of our franchisees don't have that experience, but that's where the franchise system comes in. You know, it's kind of like a business in a box. We have all the software to run the company, all the expertise to run the company, and they're working with us almost on a daily basis for their business. So they don't necessarily need that experience or have another home, because a lot of our franchisees will lease their first home and then they'll purchase home 3, 4, and 5 and such.
Got it. With that experience, you know, it sounds like, you know, if you're it's like a franchise. I mean, you've probably got a manual that, you know, that they have mm-hmm. to stick to, and that has guidance, I would assume, on hiring staff and, you know, what they have to do to maintain the facility. Is that pretty comprehensive?
Yeah, there's policies on how to open the front door. Yeah, absolutely. very extensive policies, procedures. You know, weekly meetings. We oversee all of the data that they bring in, financial and other sorts also. So we're very, very involved with our franchisees for their success.
And what would, and I know it's kind of varied, I guess, depending on the size of the home in terms of how many residents they could have. What's sort of a typical staff for maybe a 5-bedroom, 6-bedroom home?
Sure. Usually in the bigger homes like that, we're going to have 2 staff during the day, 2 in the evening, and usually 1 at night. And the 1 at night is awake night staff. So no one's sleeping in the home. They're awake, listening to anything, that any noises and anyone up in the middle of the night, those kinds of things. So there's usually 2 staff. And every home has an administrator or manager. who is certified or licensed, depending on the state, and him or her are the people who actually, you know, run the business per se. Most of our franchisees are not that manager. Most of our franchisees are in business so they can run multiple homes. So that manager in place is really important to run the actual home itself.
Got it. Is the admin person on site then, you know, at least, you know, 5 days a week or something?
Yeah. And, you know, unless they own like three homes, we have one of our franchisees that owns four homes, actually. And she spends her time just driving from home to home to home, checking in on things and, you know, pitching in when needed.
And the staff you're talking about, these are caregivers, right?
Correct. They're either, depending on the state, they're either certified or they're licensed. And they're, at the caregiver level, they're not nurses. They don't need to be, according to the regulations.
Gotcha. And the administrative person handles, I would assume, you know, the cutting of the lawn, keeping the, you know, landscaping together. Mm-hmm. Is now cleaning, is that being done by the caregivers, or do you have separate cleaners that come in?
It's usually done by the caregivers. Normally that person who works overnight, because they need a lot of things to do when the residents are sleeping. So they do a lot of those cleaning and cooking and those kinds of things. But yes, the administrator is in charge of hiring people to do landscaping and any kind of repairs that the home may need.
Gotcha. So let's talk numbers here. And I know you do this all over the country, right?
Mm-hmm. Actually, we do it internationally. We just are in the process of opening a home in the Dominican Republic right now.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, I know that home prices are going to range, you know, yeah, depending on where you are. But let's say somebody wants to get started. Now, does the landlord generally live close to the facility that they buy, or does it even matter?
They can, but some of the investors or landlords that we have, they're just telling us, you know, you let me know where your next franchisee is going to be and we'll buy a home. So they don't necessarily have to.
So let's say someone contacts you and they say, you know, I'm interested in this, in landlording. And do you have homes that are available that they could just, boom, that are already retrofit and ready to go? Or do you begin sort of a home search that's looking for a conversion?
Yeah, most of the time we do a search. You know, our franchisee is the one out there looking at homes. So once the franchisee finds one or two homes that they're interested in, that's when we'll connect them with the investor to make some decisions there. Sometimes we find homes that were residential care homes or our residential care homes that are looking to get out of the business, and the franchisee, you know, has the money to buy the business portion, but doesn't have the money to purchase the home. So there's multiple ways of looking at this.
Okay. Give me recognizing that it's going to vary from, you know, city to city and state to state or country to country, or you just kind of give me an idea of what the typical transaction is financially. And,
sure.
And you know, you can give me a ballpark, you know, for the amounts and so forth.
So let's say, you know, let me use the example of, again, the $600,000 home. Let's say it's a 5-bedroom home. Usually, again, we can convert the garage into 2 or 3 rooms. So now we have enough for 8 people. The master bedroom is usually semi-private, maybe husband and wife or 2 women or 2 men. So, you know, now we're up to, what did I say, 3, now we're up to 9. And there's usually one room in every home that's just, I call it a waste of space. So there's ways we can create another room or so on the home too. And then, you know, even after the lease is over, we can always convert the garage back into a garage. So usually on those, you know, $600,000 home rent, triple net, about $6,000 a month or so. Again, it could be lower, it could be a little higher, but that's usually the average, is about that 1% of the purchase price.
And are the landlords, you know, paying cash? Are they financing or doing both?
Yeah, they're doing both from what I've seen so far.
Gotcha. Now, it's real interesting that when you told me that it's the franchisee that is really looking for the homes, and then you kind of match that person after they find, you know, a home, potential homes with the landlord. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, because they know what they're looking for. So they're going to, you know, search the area, look for, you know, a number of homes. And then we'll do a walkthrough via Zoom or something like that to get an idea of what it looks like. And then we'll make that connection.
The franchisee leases from the landlord. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so that, let's say you said $5,000 a month or whatever, if that was the lease, would it be just the full on amount? And then the landlord at that point, you know, applies it to the various expenses associated with owning the home, whether it's property tax, insurance, you know, if they have a mortgage payment and P&I and so forth. Okay, got it. And the franchisee, what are their fees in this? I mean, they obviously will have the monthly lease, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, it's very common to have each resident, you know, paying $5,000 a month. So if you have eight residents there, you know, one of them represents that lease payment, but you have, you right. know, all that other income in there.
Yeah,
too.
It's usually about 70%. Usually 70% is break even or so. And that's 70% of a full home, right?
Right.
So, you know, your staffing is going to cost anywhere between 45% and 50% of your revenue, right? Then you have your lease payment, you know, food, insurance, and those kinds of things. But a home, once it's full, let's say a 10-bed home, profitability is usually the last three beds or so.
Got it. And that, of course, all goes to the franchisee, right? So the landlord really is just leasing the house at that point.
Right.
And what about the liability of the landlord? You know, if something happens, does that, you know, let's say they slip and they want to sue, you know, because, you know, they didn't, you know, put salt, you know, in the driveway in the snow, you know, snow was outside or whatever. How is it? Because obviously the franchisee has insurance as well, to protect him. But, you know, what's the role for the landlord there?
Yeah, that's a great question. We haven't seen a landlord or investor ever be involved in a lawsuit because the franchisees have business insurance, which covers trips, falls, and those kinds of things on the home also. So, yeah, we haven't seen anyone have any kind of situation where the investor or the landlord has been named in any kind of the lawsuit.
Gotcha. Yeah, they probably have like an umbrella policy or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, this sounds really, really intriguing. Now, let's say a landlord comes to you and says, hey, you know, I'm interested. At that point, are you have to have a franchisee that maybe is looking at houses? Or what if a guy came in and said, yeah, I want to buy the house, and you find the franchisee? It doesn't seem like it works that way, right?
It could. You know, if we had someone that say, you know, Dallas, Texas, I have a home that I think will work, or I want to buy this home, or, you know, whatever the scenario is, we can start advertising directly in that city to say, hey, we have a franchise. If you're looking to start your residential assisted living home business and you're thinking about leasing, we have a home already ready for you. So it can work both ways.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, there may be people listening that may be interested in the franchise part of it there. Can you kind of explain what, you know, what they have to do and what's the process to become a franchisor?
Sure. Well, they'd have to start at our website, which is www.discovermajesticresidences.com. Ton of information on there for both the investor and the potential franchisee. They fill out a form that says start your journey, and then that's what happens. They start their journey. It's about a 6 to 7 week process. We send them videos and emails, and then we have live meetings, group meetings, individual meetings between myself and them. They would at some point would get what's called an FDD, which is a franchise disclosure document. We're overseen by the Federal Trade Commission, so we have to give disclosures, just like a real estate investment where they have to give disclosures to a potential buyer. We have this 23 disclosures that we have to give to a potential franchisee. So they're going to receive that document, go over it. We have discussions about it, negotiate sometimes within it. And then they're allowed to talk to our current franchisees, ask them questions. How are things going? Is everything happening like they told you it would? Those kinds of things. And then we'll have a final interview. And if they do well during the due diligence process, we have testing also that we give them, business skills testing and such, then we'll award them the franchise, and then they just go out and start looking for a home to start their business.
Great. Now, there's a franchise fee, I assume?
Yeah, our franchise fee is $49,500. And then we have an ongoing royalty fee of $6,000 per month. But the great thing about that is our homes tend to have rents, which is much higher than the average home around us. A lot of that has to do with our technology that we have in our homes, our systems we have in our homes that no other residential care home has. Give me an example. We have this technology, pretty crazy, Bill. It uses radio waves to determine whether an adult brief is wet or soiled. And then it alerts the caregiver immediately. It's crazy. Yeah. It alerts the caregiver immediately. Hey, Mrs. Jones has a wet brief. It documents what time it happened and documents what how long it took the caregiver to change it. We use scent technology also. You know, the human brain, 75% of all of our emotions are linked to scents. So we worked with some chemists and we said, you know, we want our residents in our home to always feel comfortable and secure. So they came up with a scent that stimulates that part of the brain. And sure enough, well, we had that in all of our homes. And that's just, you know, we use virtual reality for our residents. You know, people in a wheelchair can now walk through a forest and pretty remarkable things. Hey, we even have robotic pets. I don't know if you're seeing those or not.
Oh, you know, my goodness.
With someone with dementia who maybe, or Alzheimer's, who had a dog or a cat for many, many years, you know, they may not understand how they can, you know, hug them without hurting them. And we don't want the animal hurting them, nor do we want our resident hurting the animal. So we have these robotic pets that I'm telling you, our residents don't know the difference. They bark, they purr, they roll over, they almost chase you if you don't play with them enough. we have one resident in our Houston home. We actually had to buy her one just for her because she would not let it go. And she talks to it all day and she plays with it, and it's pretty crazy technology. And that, you know, we have software just like the hospitals have, and because of all of this, we're able to charge about $500 to $1,500 more than the average home down the street. So, and that keeps our homes full too.
Okay, that's great. That's great. What is the sort of the monthly fee for residents there? You know, just on a range.
Yeah, we're ranging right now between $5,000 and $7,000 per month.
Wow.
And you know, long-term care insurance can pay for that also. Some of our homes do take Medicaid. It depends on, you know, the state and how much they're paying.
Right. That's great. That's great. Man, it sounds very intriguing. When you got into this area, you know, was there, you know, some certain challenges that you faced? I'm sure you kind of learned through the process. What was some of the sort of the mistakes that you kind of learned from early on?
Well, great question, because I always like to say I learned all the mistakes in my first franchise system, and it was extremely successful. So going the second time around, it's I don't want to say easier, but the is cleared with a lot less roadblocks. You know, I made all my mistakes at the beginning. You know, this one here is unique because I've never dealt with real estate before. So right now in the market, sometimes people are afraid to pull the trigger. They don't know, you know, do I pull the trigger now? Will homes be even more expensive a year from now? Will it be less expensive a year from now? So that seems to be the biggest thing right now, is just what's going on in the market. And, you know, no one has a crystal ball in front of them.
Right, right. Things that you initiate early on that ended up being really a key part of your success, something that you did that worked out really well?
Yeah, we started working with, you know, my late partner, Gene, has a company called Residential Assisted Living Academy, and they help people, you know, open their homes, get them licensed and such. So, you know, when we partnered with them, they had a lot of students initially from day one that said, hey, I went through the courses, they were great, and now I'm going, now what? And we were kind of the solution to the now what. So we were able to start off the franchise with a good number of interested people who had some experience. I mean, they had the quote unquote classroom experience, and we didn't have to do that part of the training for them. So and we still work with a lot of the RALA students.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you know, our audience are folks that, as I mentioned, they're you know, 50 years of age and older. Some are already working, but they're preparing for retirement. They may be looking at their projected income and inflation and all the other things going on in the economy, and they're concerned, and they want to know that they're going to be able to, you know, do that retirement, or maybe they're already in retirement right now and they're looking at mm-hmm. ways to supplement their income and to maybe grow their nest egg while they're retired. And, you know, what kind of advice would you have for those folks maybe looking at senior living as a potential investment?
Yeah, I think it's a solid cash flow. I mean, especially with us being a franchise and being able to support our franchisees for the long run. You know, our brand only succeeds when our franchisees succeed. So we do everything, you know, everything under the sun to make sure that they succeed. And again, so I think that a 5-year agreement, you know, we'll turn into a 10-year or 15-year agreement later on. So I think it's a good long-term cash flow possibility for any of your listeners out there to enhance their income. You know, as they get older.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You mentioned, you know, a few things in the materials that I got that were very interesting too. You mentioned something about saving 50% on loan fees by converting real estate into a business. Do you want to just touch on that? And how would the landlord be able to benefit in that way?
That would be if the landlord decided to work the business also, and they can work through the SBA for those kind of advantages.
I see. So that'd be like qualifying for SBA financing.
Correct.
Got it. And you missed the thing too. I thought it was real unique too, because, you know, I think one of the things, and I've looked at this area for a number of years, and yeah, the big concern was getting the residents, and how do you do that? And once somebody has an interest, how do you kind of nail it down or close on that so that, you know, they will get in? It sounds like that's an area you specialize in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, because a lot of people do have that question. Well, you know, I've been in that industry for 33 years in the senior placement industry. Again, that's when, you know, you work with families to show them different homes like a real estate agent. Also the founding president of the National Placement and Referral Alliance, which is the trade association for all placement agents. So I know about 600 to 800 of them in any one area where we open a home. I know agents in that area that can assist. We also handle all of the SEO marketing for our franchisees. And, you know, not a lot of residential care homes know how to work the internet. So we have a really strong advantage from day one with that also. Filling the homes doesn't seem to be an issue for us. You know, every home that we have right now that's been with us for more than 3 months, I think we're at 97% occupancy right now.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah, man. Are you involved in the marketing aspect of that as well? I mean, getting the word out to people in that community that this home exists?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have a grand opening for every home where we invite professionals We just did one in the Dominican Republic for that home out there. We had 53 doctors show up on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, my goodness.
Crazy. Yeah, we think about it. I know. You know, other openings, we had about 35 people in our Houston home when we opened that about a month ago. So we get the word out and just let them know. And there's a lot of excitement when we open because we talk about our technology, and a lot of those healthcare professionals want to see you know, new things, new and improved things.
That's great. That's great. Wow. Well, anything else that I might not have addressed that you think our listeners should know?
Yeah, and if they have any questions, just go to www.discovermajesticresidences.com. Either fill out that form, because there is a part where you can we can check that you're an investor, potential investor, or just go on the website, give Shannon a call. It's 877-777-7916. That's the number.
That's pretty good. This has been great having you on. I think there's a lot of great information here for the folks that are maybe interested in either side as a landlord or, a franchisee. I think the franchisee, it seems like it'd be a little bit more labor intensive than just being the landlord, but it definitely sounds like it could be real lucrative too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a pleasure. I feel like I've been talking to an old Paisan friend for years.
Yeah, same here. It's a great chatting with you. You know, we have this tradition, though, on here. We're called the Old Dogs REI Network. And so we always have our guests close us out with their best old hound dog howl. And awesome. Yeah, I know you can do this. So whenever you're ready, just go for it.
Okay, here we go.
All right. That was great. Well, Chuck, this has been fantastic having you on, and thank you for sharing this great information.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Well, the pleasure's all ours. And I also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Please note everything that Chuck talked about today will be outlined in detail with links on our show notes, our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog, and you're going to look for the episode with Chuck Bongiovanni. Well, that's it for today. Remember, cash flow is king, and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.